Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. Good evening and welcome from the vacation capital of the world. This is Dr. John Stamey and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. We are excited to be here tonight. I've got so far co-hosts Dave Atwell and Todd Saxon. We'll introduce them in just a moment. But anyway, glad to have everybody here on weekend on the weekday radio network. Thanks a lot to Cool Winds Radio for putting us on. We're going to have a grand time. We got super cool people coming on the show many times. We also have a lot of fun stuff we talk about because we are the Pop Culture Stars expert. Because, you know, I don't think any of us are on any of you guys on Instagram. Never mind. Don't answer that question. That was a joke. That's a joke. Anyway, here he is from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the biggest curmudgeon on the East Coast. And if you don't know what that means, it means he's the biggest bitch on the East Coast. Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Everything's good. Finally let up the rain over here, so I am out here on the deck looking over the Atwell farmstead that we've put together. I am not enjoying a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars tonight because of the fact
Why not?
I did not make it by Godfather Cigars today, and totally forgot about it until I opened the humidor and said, hey, guess what? You don't have anything to burn. So it's kind of a good thing because I got to be up at 04 anyway, and the last thing I need to do is get into a good cigar and a tall glass of adult beverages and then have a tough time getting up at 04. So I'm going to enjoy tonight's show. As soon as the show's over with, I will be hitting the rack, as they say in the Marine Corps, and then we'll be right back up and back at it. So perhaps we'll wait to burn that cigar until Friday evening or maybe even perhaps tomorrow night. So I hope you're doing well.
Alrighty.
I hope Todd's doing well, and looking forward to the new home.
Well, we're all here, and we're all doing well. Todd from the Studio I, Indianapolis. How are you doing tonight? What's going on in our northernmost reaches of Pop Culture Stars?
Outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here, guys. The man, I didn't tell you much like Dave mentioned, about tired of the doggone rain. We've had our share. Just thought I'd mention it there because I know in Jacksonville it's pitch black. We're in the same time zone. I got news for you, dude. We could be outside throwing a baseball.
No kidding.
And that's with overcast. Just saying. That's the way the difference works up here. And tell you, I'm just happy to be able to be with you guys as always on my, you know, my Wednesday nights. I look forward to this. You know, apologize for being out of commission last week. It happens. Even, you know, I actually had to go and recharge the batteries a little bit. I was just plumb run out. But, no.
We understand, Todd. We really do. So, anyway, glad you're here with us. And we wouldn't want you to be anywhere else. Not with any of those other competitors. No. We're really glad to have you here. So anyway, and I'm here. I'm Dr. John, and I have been working. I am a holic. I'm a workaholic, and it starts usually at 6:30, and it ends about 9, and then it's time for podcasting. So it's a lot of fun. Glad to be here with everybody on the weekday radio network, 5 nights a week, and thanks to Cool Winds Radio. They are wonderful to put us on, and we're going to have a grand time. So tonight, oh, by the way, hall passes go to Kevin Holland of The Walking Dead, one of our regs, and of course, the Queen of Sparkle, who everybody will get to meet next week, Liz Brackett. She is one of the most wonderful ladies you will ever meet, outspoken and just too much fun to hang out with. So what more can I say? Listen, first time I met her, she bought me lunch. What more can I say? So if anybody out there wants to buy me lunch, just send us a message. You can always contact us at Pop Culture Stars. Just go to Pop Culture Stars on Facebook. Send us a message. Todd will likely get it before I do because Todd is has been associated with Marines, and he knows that there's no such thing as on time. You're either early or you're late.
That's right. If you're not early, you are absolutely late. That's bloody well true.
Then I've been late all my life. I get excited when I'm on time. It's like, you know, whatever. But anyway, just glad to have you guys with us. This is kind of like the old pop culture stars from several years back, and we just had a great time. We're in our fifth year of pop culture stars, and so glad to be here on the Weekday Radio Network. So anyway, guys, Todd and I were talking earlier. We're going to have a guest next week. I'm trying to get that one worked out. But tonight, we wanted to talk about vibes. Because I said, Todd, I'm going to send you good vibes. He said, gosh, that is a good topic for a show tonight. I said, well, it really is. You know, we got good vibes. We got bad vibes. Now, I'm going to tell you, first of all, I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm going to start with my bad vibe for today. And then my compatriots can tell us about their good and bad vibes. And we'll have a lot to talk about in this 90 minutes. Professor Wrestling, better known as Steve Logan, he always sends me really cool wrestling videos online through Facebook. And Steve is just a great guy. He's one of the stellar people that I've ever known. And he sent me the preview of Dark Side of the Ring, the June 5th episode about Bruiser Brody.
Ooh.
And his wife talked a lot about him and said that she had no idea he was a bad guy or anything. He was wonderful, smart. She met him when she was working in a hotel in Australia. And then all of a sudden, he was getting ready to get out of there. And he'd been there a couple times, met her. And he said, well, why don't you come on and let's just get married in Vegas? I guess she said, yeah. So they were married. What a fine couple they were. Bruiser Brody was really a wonderful person. And they had a kid. And apparently Bruiser Brody fell in love with his kid, had great times with him and everything until he went off one day. She dropped him off at the airport, his wife did, and she saw him take his hair out of the ponytail. It was all over his back, and he had become the meanest man in the world, Bruiser Brody, who we do remember is one of the meanest guys in the world, in the planet. I mean, he was up there with Vader, and he was up there with Stan Hansen, who were truly two of the meanest. And if you just want to go ahead and go at it, Abdullah the Butcher and the original Sheik. You know, the original Sheik, not Sheiky Baby, who was totally awesome and totally mean as hell. But we're talking about the original Sheik, who used lightning paper from magicians to set people on fire. He was one of the meanest men that ever entered the wrestling ring. So, I mean, you know, Bruiser Brody up there with Stan the Man Hansen, with Vader, with the original Sheik. And, you know, there have been some others. You know, you can even say Roddy Piper might have been there for a while. Roddy Piper, you know, one of the most popular wrestlers as a heel in history. But anyway, so Professor Wrestling, Steve Logan sent me that. Can't wait to watch it. We might even have Steve on to talk about Bruiser Brody after that happens. I think it's going to be good. It'll be good for our souls to talk about it. So anyway, that is my bad vibe, is that, you know, he died. The last time his wife saw him was when he basically did the transformation from her husband to Bruiser Brody, and just, it was crazy. So what kind of vibes have we had today, good or bad? And let's share them, because you know what, that's part of the pop culture world. What's your vibe? Or as Michael O'Martian said, what's your sign? We'll talk about Michael O'Martian later. All right, Todd, what's up?
You know, I couldn't help it. Few seconds after you came up with that. First off, I want to be clear that we're talking about vibes here. We're not talking about the rhythm of love. There's a whole bunch of vibes going on, and one of the first things all I could think of was doggone Kelly's Heroes and Donald Sutherland saying, cut with the negative waves, baby. You know, there is something about that positive thought, positive energy and vibes that come out. But, you know, what I was actually kind of thinking of was, like, the whole how everything rings at its own frequency. And some of those frequencies are definitely positive or negative vibes. I want to throw a positive vibe out. I just thought it was funny. I was having a texting back and forth with one of the workmates, and you know, we've all done it. We've all spell check doesn't catch everything. So I had to start laughing because she wrote my name as Toss. And I've been watching, what is it, Matt Ryan as John Constantine. And,
or is that Hoss from Bonanza? Are you Hoss from Bonanza?
No, it was Toss, Tango, Oscar, Sierra, Sierra. And all I could think of was that character sitting there saying, and you bloody tossers and stuff. And so I was like, hey, Linda, do you know what Tosser is? She's like, no. I go, man, I said, you know, you keep calling me Toss, so I just figured it was some sort of slang. Turns, you know. And then it clicked for her what it was, because she turns out I had never known this, just a weird work conversation. She lived in London for a while, and she was like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. So she keeps blaming her phone, but every time she misspells a name, you know, toss her. But it was a positive vibe thing, despite being a negative term, a derisive term. I just thought it was kind of cool. You know, we sit there and we just had this silly chat about her being in London, having a blast, and, you know, tongue-in-cheek, she's like, she had called me a tosser. Oh, bloody hell. What a way to start the day, by the way. That was like at 6:30 in the morning.
And a correct word, derisive. Proud of you. You get the Merriam-Webster award for tonight for the correct, interesting word, derisive. All right, Dave Atwell, you've been too quiet for too long. Yes, you're still on the show. It was real fun. I got to tell everybody this. We had one of our first shows, it was like in the first 6 months. And after our show, Dave called me up. He said, well, now, I hope you're still going to keep me on the show because of what I said. And I want everyone to know the way I feel about Dave. Whether I like what he says or not, we have to keep him. He's the permanent bad guy. So I said, Dave, what do you mean? I can't get rid of you. You know, we can't do that. We can get rid of a lot of people. We can't get rid of Dave and Todd and, of course, Liz and Kevin. I mean, you guys can get rid of me now. I mean, I'm horrible. But anyway, yes, Dave, what have you got to say?
I'm one of those people that enjoys playing the bad guy, so it's a good fit for me. You never want to be in a movie theater with me because I'm always that one guy in there pulling for the, you know, pulling for Darth Vader in every movie. But, no, I actually got some very good news that was just happening prior, just moments before the show. My daughter, who has become a very creative and ingenious young lady, she has gotten into the whole craft making, that kind of stuff business, and her creativity level is out of control, and she's doing all kinds of stuff, you know, between making wreaths and shirts, and I mean, just name it, she's on it. So anyhow, for my birthday at the beginning of the month, this week, I got a box in from her, and it was a whiskey glass with the titles to all three of my books, and she had the fonts right, and it was almost like she took the lettering right off of the cover of my books and stuck it to the side of this whiskey glass. And at the bottom of it says author Dave Atwell, right? And I mean, it was such a cool thing. I mean, I was totally blown away by it. The creativity of it, thought. Yeah, I mean, it's one of a kind, you know. So, it totally blew me away. And my two oldest grandkids, her two daughters, they were they're twins. They'll be 15? Yeah, they should be 15 in September. But they have started their own business, doing lip gloss and lotions and all that kind of jazz. So
lotions and potions, I love it.
That's it. They're doing their thing. So anyhow, we all know all the the ups and downs of the publishing business that I've been through of recent with the book series and everything. So anyhow, she posted the picture of this glass on her website, and I had no idea she had done it. So we'll kind of set that over here to the side. So I came home from work this evening, and I was thinking about the grandkids and their, you know, their lip balm business they're doing and everything.
Oh, lotions, lady, and potions, yeah.
They're what?
Yeah.
I'm afraid to ask. Say that one more time, please.
Lip balm.
Well, I said lotions and potions.
Foot
balm.
Okay. Okay,
John's
there's an M on the end of
Hollywood,
it.
But no, we're not up to that level, you know. But they had gone out last week, and they had taken all the money that they had made. And God knows every person that started a business has experienced this. They went out and they got all the money from all the sales they had made. And when they paid off all the stuff that they had bought, I think they both ended up with, you know, like $6 a piece. And it was kind of a
great
shot in the gut for them. Yeah, but it was kind of a shot in the gut after working that hard, and then you net $6 a piece, you know. So I was thinking about that, and I said, the last thing I want to do is watch them give up on something just because it, you know, they get a gut punch right to start with. So we got home, I told my wife, I says, you know, what do you think about giving them $100 for supplies? Not $100 for playtime, it's not $100 to spend on, so it's $100 for supplies. And, so anyhow, my son, my wife, we all got in on it and sent $100 to the grandkids and explained to them, this is for buying supplies. This is not party money. This is business money. And we're investing in your business because that's how this is supposed to work. And so anyhow, they were sending us a big thanks in the whole nine yards. And, you know, we were bouncing around different ideas and everything. Well, my daughter, Lisa, she shot a post of the picture of the glass that she had put on her website. And I have actually had people look up the book series, and I had no idea, but the books have actually sold. They've actually gone up. My ranking's gone up in the whole nine yards because they looked up the books after seeing the glass that Lisa had made. So, I mean, like I said, this is all happening a half hour before the show tonight. So positive traction on my books, positive traction on my daughter's business, and most importantly, positive traction on my grandchildren's business. And, I couldn't be prouder of them, and despite all the misery that's going on in the world right now, I tell you what, it feels good to see them all doing well, because, I mean, for anybody who has children, if there's any parent out there that doesn't want the best for their kids, then they have no business being parents to start with. So, yeah, I mean, heck of a good way to end the day. You know, getting that news and then doing the show tonight. And, yeah, I was tickled to death. So,
well, you know, we're gonna tickle you some more, Dave, because we got a lot of new listeners tonight, and they probably don't know what a wonderful, wonderful series of books that you have produced. So can you give us a little bit of a preview for some new fans that are coming on tonight? We're all going to talk about the stuff that we do, because we do some pretty cool stuff. That's why we're here on Pop Culture Stars. So tell us a little bit about it. It's a 3-book series right now, coming up on 4th, and tell us about it, because you got it. People are interested in great books, and folks, this book has to do with vampires, and oh my God, you just met the vampire king here. Shut up, Dave. Tell us.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not exactly a vampire book, but it does have that unique kind of horror thriller twist to it. But what it is, it's an amalgam. It's horror, it's suspense, it's a thriller, and it's also a alternative history type piece. But it's all about a curse known as the hunger. And
tell us about it.
That's right. If you curse, you have a tendency to need to feed on human flesh. Cannibalism becomes a way of life. And what happens is, if you feed regularly, which is, you know, once every week, every 10 days, give or take, it actually becomes like a fountain of youth. Better resistance to illnesses, longer lifespan, quicker healing, blah, blah, blah.
But Dave, you don't buy it from QVC, do you?
No, it's not Botox. So,
that's right. Nancy Pelosi has already used her share of it. She's swimming in it.
Go ahead. She certainly doesn't have it, because there's no fountain of youth going on there. But, and of course, I didn't write a witch book either. So, God, okay, there I go again.
Oh, you didn't?
Thank you.
Damn.
But she can ride her broom around Washington all afternoon. But in the event that you make the morally sound decision not to live at the expense of other human beings, of course, you get what you call the rot. And that's basically when your body just deteriorates. And it is a horrible, horrible way to go for doing the right thing. So the big conundrum there is, let's say you have a disease and the doc says you have to do X to fix it. And X is the worst possible thing you can think of. Would you do it?
Is that drink milk of magnesia? Is that what X is?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's close to one of the worst things you'll ever drink. So, yeah, that could be...
It is. Okay.
That's some awful stuff. That's, yeah, that's up there with broccoli. But,
careful about broccoli,
book,
man. That's good for you.
Yeah, I dig my broccoli. You'd be easy now.
Nah,
that's right.
Now, everybody says you got to put cheese on it. And I said, well, if I got to put cheese on it, I'm just going to eat the damn cheese. You know? Broccoli can just sit over there, you know? But, yeah, the first three books, the first one is, first one's called Rotting Frontier, and reason being is because the first book is set in the American frontier up around the Dakota territories right after the Civil War. And it's funny how the people are so desperate out there that when they're more or less hiding from the curse and the people who have this curse. And that rolls into the second book, which is called Revelations. And Revelations, we get a backstory on how this region came in contact with the hunger curse. And the gentleman, quote unquote, who is the Typhoid Mary, that kind of unleashes this curse on the area, he disappears. He gets out of town. He's got a boogie. And he turns up in London Harbor at the end of the book 20 years later. And that's what leads into the third book, Ripper, which is a Jack the Ripper book in which the curse is twisted into real history. So you go from people hiding in a desolate area from the curse to a guy who has to feed but it's in such a densely populated area that he just can't feed easily without being caught. So it's a reverse almost of the problem. It's a different side of the problem of having the hunger curse. But yeah, the Jack the Ripper book, if you're a Jack the Ripper fan, it puts a different light on the killings without twisting history. Everything in that book is absolutely factual.
Dave, I wanted to ask you a question. As the host of Murder 123, we had a 2-part series, and you can find it on Murder 123 and on Facebook. You can find the link to it. Because there has been some talk that Jack the Ripper might have been H.H. Holmes, one of the most bloodthirsty men that ever lived.
I know that story.
I joined you on the show, what was it, about a month ago, and we spoke in part about Jack the Ripper and everything, and I don't know. I have my doubts about H.H. Holmes. I think he was whereas Jack the Ripper had more of a precision strike, H.H. Holmes was more of a game player. He enjoyed the tease, so to speak. He enjoyed the terror, whereas
in his case,
whoever,
you're saying it wasn't the kill, it was the thrill of the chase.
Yeah, exactly. And I still think to this day that Jack the Ripper, I still think it was a committee. I think I ever mentioned in the show that I think it was too clean. It was in too densely populated of an area for one guy to be able to get in and out of there as they did without being detected. I mean, whoever it was had to have had some type of lookout or just genius level plan, because, you know, the blood alone, you know, he never left the footprint. You know, and Whitechapel, I mean, Onslow County here where I live is like 150,000, 175,000 people live in this county, including Camp Lejeune. And I swear to you, you can't swing a dead cat in this county without hitting two or three people. Whitechapel. That's the whole social distancing. It ain't possible around here, man. People are always in your pockets, you know. But in Whitechapel, they had half, if not less, of the space and had well over 1 million people living in it. So they were stacking people. So for this guy to be able to commit, or I say this guy, for this individual to be able to commit these murders and get away. Committing the murders is no sweat. That's just its own thing, okay?
Its own deal, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the getaway that's amazing. It's how this cat was able to desecrate bodies as he did in such a precise fashion and was able to do it without being detected, without leaving footprints, without being covered in blood, without having victims screaming. I mean, this guy or gal or whatever it was a genius. And I hate like hell to attach the word genius to something so heinous, but it's just genius in the other light. You know, you've got people that are genius, you know, that invent things, but then you've got genius on the other end. That's the negative side of it. Speaking of vibes, good vibe, negative vibe.
Well, And you know, I got to jump in here because I want because I love my Murder 1-2-3. I just love that little show. This week we and what I'm getting the murderer I'm going to talk about now. There's a real direct relationship to what we've been talking about. This weekend, this Monday night, we talked about the Zodiac Killer from Northern California. And there are two things that we've got a committee. And our committee is me. It is Tony Filosi. It is Robin McRae. It is Devin Tate from Hollywood. And it is Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. That is our committee. And what we realized, if you know much about the Zodiac Killer, he sent some encrypted messages to a number of newspapers. And, well, there was a little 22-year-old boy that seemed to get the drift and basically decrypted one of his longest messages. And whenever we look at the things, the files that we're allowed to see on the internet, nobody ever tried to pin this on a man that was smart enough to develop cryptographic code. They were trying to pin this on every seaman, you know, every dude on a boat, every dude that, you know, hung out in a phone booth. And what they never really talked about is the fact that this person who killed these five people, although he claims 57, which I don't doubt, I mean, you know, he could have, but they never talk about the smarts that this person had. I mean, I'm not, you know, with a doctorate in computer science, I'm not the world's greatest cryptographer, and I mean, it's hard. It's very hard. So it's like, How can these investigators avoid some very important facts about a major murderer? And it's like, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And it's like, Dave, your murderers in the Hunger, they're going to be hard to track down because apparently the police or the investigators don't seem to want to track them down. Am I correct? Is there a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I know, and by the way, I love the police, but I'm talking about in these cases that are so gigantic, the police tend to say, golly, oh, let's solve this crime, which may not be a bad thing. But anyway, please go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to throw out here. Part of that, is that not the way people get stuck going down bloody rabbit holes? We really can get stuck going down a freaking rabbit hole. And it happens. Now, where there is, one of the things I specialize in on this show is throwing out tangents. And I'd love to tell you this is Dave's fault, but I've had it in the back of my head and I wanted to bring it out. But since he talks about crafting and stuff with the grandkids and that, yep, there's a tangent coming here, Joe. For Mother's Day, and oh, by the way, happy belated Mother's Day. We all give mothers, you know, manage to pull it off and do it right. And we missed the show last week, so word didn't really get out. For Yuki, I was just trying to find something different. Since I've been up here, not co-located with the family, I've been doing, you know, edible arrangements and flowers and stuff like that. Just really
so
horrible.
Now, by the way, Todd, so that everyone knows, Yuki is your beautiful and wonderful wife, and I certainly approve of that marriage. She's a great lady.
She is. She is. You would think that somebody that's been got another announcement next week involving her. You think somebody that's known me this long and been married to me this long and spent just that much time around me would drink a lot more? But she drank surprisingly little. You'd be surprised.
She's just smart.
She's as good a mother as any kids could ever have. So I married the, you know, best option for wife. Couldn't have done better. The I found some wine scented soap, and I was like, you know, that craft soap, people do it all over the, you know, country. You know, folks that are doing it in their basement, stuff like that on the project. And I thought that wine scented soap, I was like, man, tell me they're going for the fruity bouquet underneath the wine and not like that, you know, somebody left a half glass of wine out on the counter and you smell that stale wine the next day.
But no Todd, no half glass of wine going to be left at my place. So continue. Okay. This was not made at my house.
I assure you. We know that's true, Dr. John.
Thanks, sir.
So while I was looking through those soaps, check out what I found. There was an IPA scented soap, and I do mean Indian Pale Ale. And
really?
All I could think of when I saw that was, what could you find about that scent that could be appealing? And then I was like, oh, my God,
Jenica,
could you imagine
send one to me and I'll tell you. Okay? Come on.
Then I was like, could you imagine showering with that? You would have to
keep
your empty wrapper in the vehicle in case you got pulled over. No, really, officer, it's just a soap. You've been going into work smelling like that? And then I realized maybe this is something you don't buy for someone you like. Maybe this is something you buy for someone you don't like.
Or
just saying. Or Dr. John.
It won't be the first time I went to work smelling like beer, you know?
Been there, done, you know, back in the Marine Corps, just saying, God almighty. Yeah, wasn't a big deal to show up at 5 in the morning smelling like a brewery.
Guys, I got to tell you something. People are finding out too much about us. I mean, good Lord. Yeah, we're three dudes that aren't that old, and boy, have we had a good time. Right?
I mean, yeah, we walked the block a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before I forget it, because after my vodka and diet ginger ale, I may forget it. Can I tell you all a very funny story about me and Fort Bragg? Can I please tell you this?
Please.
Because I think that I may hold the one-time all-time record. I've always worked for myself and in the internet business and everything. And about 20 years ago, met this fella named Wyatt. He was an artist. He was in the Army. One of the nicest people I ever met. He brought his wife to meet me. We were at Ruby Tuesdays in Lumberton. Just what a great guy. And, you know, what a marvelous, marvelous artist. So what happened? Oh, my goodness. I hope I didn't forget.
Hey, Dr. John, tell us, what happened?
Yeah, what happened? What happened was, now I remember. Yeah. Oh, shut up, Dave. So here's what happened. I used to, because he and his wife had an apartment really near Fort Bragg, and so when I would be going up to do sales in Raleigh and whatever, I could always crash on the couch, which was wonderful. They had a nice place, and they had a couch, they had it in there.
Futon.
It was a futon. That's exactly right. It was a futon. And one time, he was not quarantined, but they had to stay on the barracks for like 3 weeks, you know? And Todd, I know you remember there were times when you had to stay on, you know, on the base for several weeks at a time, right?
Right.
Okay. And so, and his wife had gone to California to visit her parents, and he really couldn't get me. Well, here's what he said. He said, John, just come on and hang out with us, and we'll have a few drinks here at the in the barracks. And I said, okay, that sounds cool to me. So it was just actually him and me and one of his buddies, and we had some great drinks, and it was a lot of fun. And I said, well, now, Wyatt, I got to tell you this. I don't feel comfortable driving to your place because I know you could give me the key. He said, oh, don't worry about it. You can just stay here. And I said, excuse me? He said, sure, two of our roommates are gone. You can just stay right here with us in that bed over there. And I can tell you that that was the most restful night of sleep in my life because I knew nobody was going to attack me at Fort Bragg. Nobody. And then I made a mistake. My critical error. I had to get up early in the morning. And Wyatt was a former Marine. And they kind of cut him some slack because he was a tough, tough dude. I mean, he's a great artist, but I mean a really tough dude. And so I got up at like 5:30 in the morning, and I said, I need to go down to the car, get my stuff, and take a shower and get out of here by 6:30.
Well, see, that's the Army. They're not up at 5:30 in the morning, clearly.
Well, now, this group was, sir. So I walked down the stairs, and I probably smelled like we had had some drinks that night. And lo and behold, there was a group of guys getting ready to do PT, and there was some not happy sergeant to see me walking down the stairs. He said, now, where have you been? And all of a sudden, I knew that I probably should not have spent the night at Fort Bragg. I said, well, I had to come see my cousin. I have to go get my stuff. He said I could take a shower. He said, are you sure that's the truth? I said, absolutely. And I thought to myself, boy, somebody better, if they get wake him up, they better make sure that he says the same thing. So anyway, I went out, got my stuff, and came back. And my buddy Wyatt got up about 6:45 when I was getting ready to leave. He said, oh, my God, they caught you? I said, yeah. And I told him I was here visiting you to take a shower and get out of here. He said, I forgot to tell you, you're the first civilian in the history of the world to ever spend the night here. And I said, what? Now, I don't know how true this is, but he said, you are the first civilian to spend the night at Fort Bragg in the barracks. I said, oh, okay, cool. That's
yeah,
why
that
I felt so safe. Pardon?
So that
oh,
was
yeah,
a male.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, yeah, right, right, not right, not some chick they're doing. But, I mean, just as a guest, he said you were the first person to spend the night in the barracks here. And I felt kind of honored. Now, we're still friends. But I'll tell you this. When that officer asked me who was I and what was I doing, God, Todd, because you're the one that's been in the Marines for so long, you know when you're about to get in trouble. You know that tone of voice, right?
Do you have any idea how many times I've used that tone of voice?
Well, at least not with me. At least we're friends, and you feel sorry for me when you have to take me places and say, well, here's what we're going to do, John. And I'm all in my professor fog. But anyway, yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. All the best to Wyatt Billingsley, one of the finest people. I can say that when he and his buddy came back from Iraq, from the very first Iraq war, they cost me over $500 in drinks that night.
I believe it.
I have never. I didn't know that two normal human beings could drink 408. I had $20. That's four drinks. I mean, I didn't know that two normal people could drink $500 worth of drinks. Could. And they helped keep our nation safe. So folks, now you know my real secrets, and they're all funny, and they probably have things to do with having a few cocktails, or as my buddy Special K would say, as we have a few Chardonnays. So I'll leave it at that. I'm going to turn it over to you before you guys fire me.
You know what occurred to me? I recently unearthed or reached into the back pocket and pulled out an old school term, started referring to a beer again as a barley pop.
Okay.
Just one of those many. One of those phrases from my past. Yep. Going to have a barley pop while I'm doing the show.
Okay, well, that's good.
Oh, man, this is just ridiculous. So, I don't know, just stuff with work or whatever. It's kind of funny. You talk about using that tone of voice. Oy vey, sometimes you find a way to use that tone of voice in an email at work. And we had clearly one of our intermediaries had a bit of a miscommunication. A mission came down, and we work to do that. For those who don't know it, I do support for the Marine Corps still, and every now and again, I just drop into my, I have to drop into the heavy role, and fortunately, I'm in a position I can do that now. So I did it, but boy, I got a hells of a reaction. Boy, I had two lieutenant colonels on the line and just about everybody else with it by the time I was done. And, we won our mission. We got what we wanted out of it, but holy smokes. I guess sometimes when you phrase things in a certain way, man, you can get a lot of attention. Woo! Yeah, I had everybody involved.
Yes, you can. I mean, just as long as you... Or as Robin McRae from... Murder 123 and Scarycast says it's called the mom voice. And she said, no one ever questions the mom voice, period. And she's right. And boy, she can. And I've heard her reprimand me and reprimand her husband and everybody. Nobody messes with the mom voice. The mom voice is what you have to listen to. Of course, you have to respect the mom. But yeah, we respect Robin. She's wonderful. And she'll be with us again tomorrow night. We've got some special guests, thanks to her, and it's going to be just a lot of fun. And I guess we'll take just a brief moment and talk about tomorrow night. Tony Filosi, one of the top paranormal investigators in the country. He's from Harlan, Kentucky. He's got a very special night tomorrow night. He has put together a book about Manzo Shepherd, one of the most bloodthirsty murderers in all of Kentucky. And so tomorrow night is the anniversary of Manzo's death. He was shot in the courtroom in Harlan, Kentucky. So tomorrow night, Tony is going to be there with a crowd of people. They're going to be doing EVP sessions, hoping to have Manzo talk to him. And Manzo has talked to him a lot. So, and Tony brings those to our show every once in a while. He will be bringing those to Murder 123 next week, and that's going to be a lot of fun, so we look forward to that. We just got a heck of a family, a lot of great things happening, especially with us, because we have too much fun, I'm sorry you have to listen to us, we have too much fun. All right, Dave, you were talking too much, and then Todd got to talk. Now, Dave, it's time for you to talk again.
Oh. What do you want to hear out of me?
Oh, Lord.
That was the worst sequel to any statement in podcasting history. Well, what do you want to hear out of you? Well, any damn thing you want to say. How's that?
Uh-oh. We kind of lost you there.
Uh-oh, you kind of lost me? Have I been found?
Yeah, now you're back.
I was lost, but now I'm found. You were saying that...
Yeah.
What did you say? I can't remember. You know what? You know what's great is I've never had a good memory, so I can always explain it off by having a few drinks. But to be honest with you, I just can't remember a damn thing, never have been. But I can certainly learn how to program a computer. But other than that, I can't remember anything. So, Dave, say something. Whatever it is, it better be funny, because the spotlight is on EWEU.
No, seriously, Dave, at a loss for words? Holy crap.
No, I keep getting a fade out, so I'm trying to figure out what all the cue is for. I mean, I can. right? Which would I'll be just going in and out, in and out. We all know you live under a bridge, but.
Now, everybody, this is what you can do when you're the host of a podcast. You can put somebody on the spot
there we go,
quicker
Kim.
Than quicker than Sally, Dick, and Jane in spot. They've always been on the spot. Oh,
right,
that was
Todd,
so
you
funny, and
this?
Nobody laughed. Nobody laughed about
yeah,
Sally, Dick, and Jane in spot.
I'm trying not to cry here. God, it's funny. I'm still trying to wrap myself around Dave basically being, huh?
Well, I know. I mean, listen, you know, there are these shows called The Five and The Few and the whatever, but they're not as much fun as we are because we're not trying to get at anybody. We're trying to laugh at each other. I mean, you know, we don't laugh with people. We laugh at our compatriots. That's what we do. So anyway, yep. All right, next. We're not done yet. Good Lord. We got too much time to...
Seriously, Dave, are you...
okay,
you know,
I
Dave was
now.
Saying we're going in and out. I'm just going... I want to throw out... Dude, I'm getting good audio on this end, sir.
If you can hear me, I'm going to call back in because I am losing signal. I can't hear either one of you guys. All right.
Well, you can call
right,
right
call
back
in.
Todd and I know how to handle this show by ourselves, don't we, Todd?
Yes, sir. Been
okay,
there, done that. Good to go, Dave.
And all I've got to say is, everybody thinks this is crazy. Wait till you hear Liz. And you hear Kevin on here with us, it gets berserk. I mean, because you know what? Our normal lives are really kind of funny. And, you know, and I'll tell you one thing that I've learned, Todd. I have learned. In fact, I used to be a columnist for a newspaper, okay?
Okay.
And here comes Dave back in with us. And golly, I feel like Travis Walton and Fire in the Sky is coming back. Where's the UFO, Dave? I know you're back with us now, aren't you?
Yes, we're good. I could hear you guys much better now. It must have been something going on. God knows what. So, no, I'm back. Carry on.
All right.
Yeah,
go
ahead, John. Finish your story.
Okay, what I was saying is I've learned a lot about human behavior and how to get the best out of people. I was helping a company move their offices and move their internet and all this stuff, and we were having problems. And the guy started giving me a fit. He started really just getting upset with me because I couldn't make their internet work. And I really couldn't. I mean, it was like there were some problems there. And so what happened was I also wrote a column for the newspaper called the Internet Column. And I talked about, you know, when someone calls up and complains to the poor old customer service dude that's trying to help you and complains about them, that is not how you win friends and influence people, is it?
Yeah, well, yelling at the person that's going to help you is really, I don't know, I think that just demonstrates a not fully functional and effective intelligence quotient above 80. Just saying.
Right.
No,
so here's what I've learned is whenever I call up somebody that I'm trying to get to help me, I don't care who they are or what they sound like, within 3 minutes, they're convinced that they are the best customer service rep I have ever talked to. And within about 7 minutes, they know that I'm going to send a letter to their boss saying great things about them. And within 10 minutes, my problem is fixed. Isn't that amazing?
What was the premise of the show? Vibes, positive vibes, and that be positive, that kind of
thing?
Yeah,
and in fact, what's interesting, this vibe event happened to me this evening. And so this guy was not too particularly interested in my problem. After 5 minutes, he knew I was going to send a letter to his boss saying what a great job he was doing. After 8 minutes, he knew everything about my problem. In 10 minutes, I was off the phone. And he was truly the best. But he was not the best when I called. And what I've found out, you know, in terms of vibes, it has to do with, you know, if you're nice to somebody and they really think that you are nice to them, they'll go to the end of the earth to help you. And, I mean, we'll even do that for Dave. I mean, you know, it's hard to believe, but we'd even help Dave. But that's the whole point. Excuse me. I think it's an important thing to realize is that being nice to people, the old how to win friends and influence people always works. For the double negative, it never not works. It always works. And I turned what was potentially a horrible situation for me into a 4-star situation where my problem got solved. The other person involved felt like a hero. And I am certainly going to send the boss of the company a letter tomorrow and just congratulate the dude. I mean, because that way I know the next time that he gets on the phone when I have a service problem, he'll be the first person to take care of me. And I really appreciate it. And I think that's one thing, I guess, in terms of vibes, that was my lesson to myself today. Just always be nice to people and never say anything bad. No, we want to. Dave, have you ever wanted to say something bad to somebody?
Daily.
Not ever, daily. Todd, how about you?
Oh, on a regular basis, there is no doubt about it. How do you, when you have created examples, probably a dozen times in the last 3 weeks, especially when your examples are for somebody else's job, and they go to get theirs, and then they ask, well, do I do this with one email or two? And the reason why I reference the email is we're talking about setting a meeting online, send out the invites, and standard routine, you put everybody on the CC line that needs to be invited. It is really easy if you have a separate portion of your agency that is sending that email out. If they have everybody in one line, boy, they can copy all that stuff right there. They got everybody's addies. Boom, boom. Now everybody's in the invite. Easy peasy. So in this case, he had to set up 2 meetings. So he goes, do I do it in one email or two? And so you got to go back. And how do you say, look, moron, how are they going to figure out who on the CC line goes to which meeting if you do it in one email? It's not that hard to send 2 emails. It's just not that hard.
Well, that's about the
truth. So, yeah, sometimes you got to find ways to do that. So you'd be like, no, you got to remember, it's really hard for them to sort out that CC line if you got different people there. So, yeah, just do it in one. Or, you know, do it in the 2 emails instead of doing it in one. They can't sort it out. And the guy wants to get promoted. I'd love to say it's an excuse for why I drink, but it's probably more of an excuse for why I don't stop drinking.
Never heard that one, Todd.
Well, that'll be the guy they promote all the way up to vice president. You know what I mean? That's normally how it works.
Are you talking about Joe Biden?
Oh, the guy who can hide his own Easter egg.
I shouldn't have said that one, should I?
God, that's funny. So check this out. So one of my workmates, just random, you know, another one of my tangents, just talking about, yeah, I'm leaving work early or whatever. And last week it was actually in a Kate spot, kind of like where I was, where it was a matter of just needing to recharge and that. We've just doing the telework and stuff for the last two plus months. We've just been putting in more hours and all that. It's not like you can, you know, walk across, you know, go down a couple floors and have a quick conference and go walk away with all the answers that you need. Now it's, you know, try to do it through a series of emails, a series of IMs, a series of phone calls. And because, you know, you can't necessarily build a spontaneous group call, although we've done it and pulled stuff off, you won't believe. Had to, anyhow, the workman had to take some time off last week, just recharge batteries, regroup, because these have been some long, grueling days. They're awesome. We're getting stuff done. Don't want it to sound negative, because we're still kicking ass. It's just taking us longer to kick ass, take names every day. So she mentioned that she was launching out today to go early, and I was like, oh, crap, what happened now? You got to regroup again? Something bad happened? No, I'm... She's going to go get some tattoo work done. And so I mentioned to her after she'd done describing the tattoo to me, and I'm not, you know, me personally, as a no, by the way, not the biggest fan of tattoos. I get the in memoriam or in support of family members, that kind of thing. But just generally speaking, I'm not a tattoo person. Let's face it, if you go out and you do something, it's an identifying mark.
Well, it is.
Just saying. Anywho, so I was like, you know, if I ever get a tattoo, it would be a heart with the letters M-E inside it. Go ahead.
Okay. And?
That's right. I love me. Because you would put the person's name inside it, normally inside a heart, right? So in this case, it'd be me. That was just my quip, and it just, I don't know, it set her off. She's like, I don't know why I talk to you.
So why? You were because popular today.
Oh, yeah, no idea. Hey, rocking and rolling, doing stuff. The quarantine thing was kind of funny. One of my workmates, we did a big meeting yesterday, my standard Tuesday meeting with my special team. And when I say special, I mean it in a really good way. They are indeed some amazing, amazing freaking people. And so we come up with an ad hoc vote. We're like, hey. We got these upcoming events. They want to schedule a meeting. One of the meetings is during the normal, you know, one of the offerings for time frames is during the normal time frame for this meeting. Look, we're all here. Why don't we just go ahead and vote, see if we can attend, you know. I'll just cancel, you know, my schedule. We can all come one-on-one and get it sorted out on the, you know, anything I have on my side of business. And we'll do that. And when I get to my one boy, Jeff, he goes, Todd, where else am I going to be? It's not like I'm going anywhere under the circumstances. I'm like, how friggin' awesome an answer is that? It just, as glib and everything as it was just awesome. And it was the bottom line. Basically, he told everybody else there, you got no excuse for not voting yes. That's my guys, though. I mean, they're glib, they're awesome, and look, bottom line, they got their stuff together. They rock and roll. And to be able to work with these people day in, day out is spectacular. I got one of the best wives on the planet, just saying. I do that on my, you know, for my day job, and then Wednesday nights I get to come out and hang out with me, you guys, man. How can it get
any
better?
You have one of the greatest times in the world, and then I have to put up with Dave. I mean, what more can I say? But anyway, that's all right, and we know what's going on with Dave, and we know what's going on with you. And I'll tell you what, it's always wonderful to be here with Pop Culture Stars. We got, you know, a lot of great, you know, next week. The Queen of Sparkle, Liz, will be back, and hopefully Kevin will be back. He's got a lot of things going on in beautiful, sunny Alabama, so we want to have him here. So I want to say thank you to both of you guys for being here with us tonight on the Weekday Radio Network, thanks to Cool Winds Radio, and we will be back, believe it or not, next week. We'll be back next week.
Woo-hoo!
A lot of fun. That's exactly right, and we've got a couple of new folks are going to be coming on and joining us, and it'll be a lot of fun. So first of all, from Jacksonville, North Carolina, Dave Allen, yes.
If I could just add before we leave tonight, this
you
weekend,
can add
course,
all you want.
It is Memorial Day weekend. Number one, be careful because they are reopening, so to speak. A lot of the places around here, a lot of folks are going to be jumpy, anxious, and probably over excited, if you will. So please be careful out there. And, you know, let me go on. This is why I'm going to segue into this. Memorial Day is exactly that. And I'm not saying you cannot celebrate or you should feel bad about celebrating, but Memorial Day is a day of remembrance, a day of honor. It is not an evening to get liquored up and drive all over the county with your buddies. It is not an excuse to shoot off fireworks at 03 in the morning in celebration. Memorial Day is a very solemn and a very honorable and a very particular event here in the United States because we're one of the few places on the planet that take a day to honor those who have fallen, keeping that flag at the top of the flagpole for us. So without being too overly graphic with my speech, don't be a dumbass. And remember, this holiday is not, it's one to celebrate, but it's one of honor above all and remembrance. So if you got some fireworks, leave them in the closet till July 4th, because then that's a real reason to celebrate there. So again, if you have anybody in the service that's fallen, you know, before combat, after combat, however, you know, if they served their time and is no longer with us, take a knee, say a prayer, and, you know, don't be afraid to visit, you know, the Veterans Cemetery and that kind of stuff. But again, this is supposed to be an honorable tradition, not a partying tradition. So again, be careful, have some respect, and enjoy this weekend. Look forward to having everybody next week. See y'all. Be careful.
Absolutely. All right. And we look forward to having you next week. And Todd, you got everything off your chest?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to double down on the PSA and the thing that Dave mentioned there. Absolutely, in memoriam. We have, in many ways, culturally, lost what Memorial Day is in and of itself versus the time frame of when it is. It's become a rite of passage going into the summer. Now, the one thing I'm going to throw out there is they brought up the fireworks, and I just got to throw this other part out. The week and a half ago, we did a on Saturday, we did a celebration of life for a buddy, he retired a gunny, Dan, missed your brother, who passed away. And we did a celebration of life. And it was actually planned for all of us to real world get together and do it this weekend, but the world events. outdid us. They were, you know, everybody was, we had set something up for, the family had planned ahead, and I had kind of missed the part of the plan, and it was like, hey, at half an hour after our deal, we finish our event, top of the next hour, we were going to, they were like releasing balloons and stuff like that for Dan. You know, the only thing I could come up with on the moment for my veteran, especially since I missed the funeral, and we're sitting there doing a thing in memoriam, I got those little poppets, which are a form of fireworks. I laid out three groups of seven and was able to do a full 21-gun salute for him. And remember, it's, and fortunately, as I was recording it to post it to the group messenger, man, all of them were landed spot on. It sounded right. The good news was it wasn't real invasive to the neighbors. But if you're going to do something like that, try to coordinate it. If you want to play with fireworks, if you want to do that, the understand what the 21-gun salute means and do something like that instead of just making noise out there. And by all means, if you're going to go play with fireworks, be safe, people. Be safe. I'd love to tell you not to drink and drive, but for the young people that are dating, if you drink, drive, don't park. Accidents cause people. Just be safe out there. I'm done.
All right. Well, all I've got to say is just glad to be here with everybody on the weekday radio network. Thanks, Cool Winds. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And please come and join us. Tell all your friends. Check us out at Pop Culture Stars on Facebook. Send us some messages. Todd will get them and relay them to everybody because Todd does better work than anyone I know. So thank you, Todd. Thank you, Dave. And I got news for everybody. We'll see you next week on Pop Culture Stars. Cheers.
Big hugs, everyone. Big hugs.
Good night, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Time to hit the rack.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, we'll hit the rack here in a minute.
We're going to hear the English lady anytime. That's all right,
yeah.
Guys. Hey, thanks for hanging out. Always grateful.
Where's the British lady?
I don't know. I think she left, which is good. You know, we can, folks, just this British lady that tells us when our show is over, and Dave Ramsey of all people, and like me, what can I say? Dave doesn't exactly like me. That's okay. We'll see you guys. Take care. Bye.
All
Dave
right,
Ramsey
bye
next week.